All right, thank you. And thank you very much for inviting me to speak here. So this is some project that has been going on for a few years now with Jaume Gomes, Natalia Solina, and Jan Soberman. And what I'm gonna say today is also based on some other projects we completed earlier this year with Wei and Chuang, Ian Manscott, Greg Moore, and again Ian. So indeed it's some story about quasiotropic brains. This is how the story started, but then eventually it turned out we realized that it can be used somehow to, it's related to quasiotropic brains in toric collabial threefolds are related to surface defects in supersymmetric gauge theories. Gauge theories, the kind of defect discussed first by Gukov and Witten, and then studied by Gaiato, Moore, and Naiske, and also paper by Dimofte, Gukov, and Holland. I'm just going to use initials to indicate references. And then the mirror symmetry appears somewhere along the way in a categorical construction. So first, let me quickly remind you what quasiotropic brains, the way they were defined by Kapustin and Oglov. So quasiotropic A brains, following Kapustin and Oglov. So I take X. Omega, it's a symplectic manifold. In this talk, is going to be actually collabial threefold, so at least let me assume that it has real dimension 6. I'm going to take it from the beginning that it's a sixfold over reals. So what's a quasiotropic brain? It's a triple. It's a triple. So this is a quasiotropic brain. A brain, if the following holds, so M is going to, it has to be in this case, it's a quasiotropic five cycle. So A, you want M in X to be a quasiotropic five cycle, and that means that the symplectic octagonal of the tangent bundle to M is contained in the tangent bundle to M. So it contains its own symplectic octagonal. The symplectic octagonal, because omega is non-degenerate, is going to be a rank 1 real line bundle. And then what you can show, in fact, is that if you identify this, no, I'm sorry. What am I trying to say? let me see what I was. Maybe I won't say it. You get a natural isomorphism between this and the conormal bundle to M in X. It's induced by omega. But I don't think I'm going to get to that level of detail. So this is a quasiotropic phi sub. This is a fairly natural condition in symplectic geometry, but this is not enough to specify a brain. What you need more than that, L is for us, it's a complex rank 1. Bundle on M, and C is A is a U1 connection on L, and they are supposed to satisfy some interesting conditions, which are really the heart of this quasiotropic condition, a brain condition. So what are the conditions? So you're satisfying, first of all, I want a curvature of A, F sub A, to be the contraction with the symplectic orthogonal to be zero. So this means that FA descends to a bilinear form on the quotient. Let me call it Q sub M, which is just the quotient of Tm by the symplectic orthogonal. So that's a rank four real bundle. So this has rank, so the real rank of Qm is 4. And so Fa descends to this. Let's give this guy a name. Let's call it, I don't know, phi, this bilinear form. And then because, of course, by construction from here, I should have noticed here, omega, of course, descends, also descends to a bilinear form, a non-degenerate bilinear form. Bilinear form, call it omega twiddle on QM. And then there is the heart of the condition that Kapustin and Ogloff formulated is some compatibility condition between these two bilinear forms, phi and omega twiddle. So what you want to happen is somehow you need an intertwiner between them, which is a complex structure. So let me say it in a bit more detail. So the story is that by linear algebra, phi, this because of omega twiddle is non-degenerate, you have, so this couple, this pair, omega twiddle and phi, they determine J an endomorphism of QM, and it's determined by this condition. Let me write it. Okay, so phi applied to any two vectors in QM equals omega twiddle of V and J of V2. So that's the condition that determines J. And now the Kapustin and Ogloff, you want J to define an integrable complex structure on QM. So in particular, it has to square to negative 1. So it has it, this is just telling you that defines an almost complex structure, but then you want this to actually be integrable. So it's a fairly strong condition, actually. This makes these objects fairly rare and hard to construct. It's not, as you see, it's a bit long-winded condition, so it's not totally easy to satisfy, as opposed to Lagrangian cycles or Lagrangian brains, I should say, which is somewhat easier. Okay, so one of the results we obtained, and we just didn't write it yet at least, was that we can construct, have explicit constructions. Constructions of coisotropic brains in toric Calabi-Yau threefolds. Actually, some of them not even toric. Not even Calabi-Yau. I'm just going to give you a very simple example. The very basic example, because I don't think I have time to write very complicated formulas, but let me just start with a very simple example, where x is C3 and omega is a canonical symplectic Keller form on C3. So, for example, you can construct an object, such an object, by as follows. So, we take M inside X. It's just the defined by Z1 equals 1. So this is some cycle that looks like S1 cross C2. So this S1 is just the phase of Z1. And then I can write down an explicit connection. I'm going to take the line bundle to be trivial. I mean, actually, any line bundle is topologically trivial on such a 5 manifold. So L is going to be just the trivial line bundle. And we can write an explicit connection as follows. A is a half Z z2 dz3 plus z2 dz3 bar. And now, of course, I'm not going to go through all the details, but if you go and then compute a curvature and then you just write down patiently all the conditions, it turns out that, yes, you do get a... So after some computation, you do get this complex structure, J, which kind of scrambles. It's, you're not going to get the natural complex structure on C2 inherited from the ambient space. It's going to be look like something like this, where the holomorphic coordinates are going to be something like, let's say, zeta equals x2 plus I. Let me write it like this. The real part of z2 plus I, the imaginary part of z3. And eta is the real part of z3 plus the imaginary, I, the imaginary part of z2. So they get scrambled. And I'm not quite sure about these signs, but it's not important. The important thing is that it's a twisted complex structure. It's not the one naturally inherited from the ambient space. It's twisted somehow. Okay, so, and then there is a way of generalizing, I mean, of constructing more sophisticated examples, as I said, in at least some class of collabial threefolds. And this is actually the class of collabial threefolds which naturally occur in the geometric engineering. So let me just go over that briefly. I mean, I'm sure this is something a fairly known subject. It's not new. And so what's going on in geometric engineering, actually this is basically a subject that started years ago with the work of Shamit and Kumrun Wafa. So geometric engineering, this is mostly to explain what's the connection with gauge theories and also what's the kind of collabial threefolds I want to really worry about. So there is this idea that you can engineer gauge theories, I mean low energy gauge dynamics, but as a limit of string theory dynamics. So you just have to look at a collabial threefold with, let's say, lines of, well, actually complex lines. I have to be careful because I'm often using real dimensions here. So complex lines of AD singularities. And then somehow you just look at the effective dynamics of string theory excitations, string theory deep brain states localized near this singularities. So if you want to do that, it suffices to by just zooming in near the singularity. You don't need to worry about the compact structure of the collabial. You just can work with local toric models. So these are, as I said before, they are well known to everybody in this audience. So I'm just going to, just to fix notation and to give some example. Let me remind you how you get these local toric models. So you just need the local picture. So the kind of models I want to construct, I really want to construct models for SUN gauge theories. I mean, actually, I should say those are toric. For D and E are not toric. Maybe for D is close to toric somehow. But so for SUN gauge theories, what we are supposed to do, we take, let me call Y. It's the total space of a rank 2 bundle over P1 over the a bundle that looks like a negative A negative B over P1, where A plus B is 2. So then on this, I have an action of the M plus 1 group of roots of unity, which acts like zeta and zeta inverse, so opposite weights on the two summons. And then it fixes pointwise the zero section, so it doesn't act on P1. So this is going to give you, by taking the quotient, just the quotient as an algebraic variety, this is going to be a singular collabial, singular threefold. And it admits a toric resolution. It's a singular toric threefold. So I'm just going to, just to give you a concrete example of what's happening, this is gonna, for example, if I take A and B to be 2 and 0, so one example here, if I take A equals 2 and B equals 0, I'm gonna get a toric resolution X of Y. So this is gonna be now a smooth Calabi-Yau threefold. It's obtained by triangulating the polyhedral fan of Y. So what the picture that you're gonna see in most papers usually is something like this. So the toric fan of Y is a cone in R3 over the following picture, over the following polygon. I mean, something like this. This is really the picture for SU3, but okay, that's all I'm going to do. And then you triangulate this, and that's how you construct a smooth threefold. The toric fan is really something that you get when you take the cone over this picture. So you put this in a hyperplane at distance 1 from the origin and take the cone. So you get a complete triangulation of the toric fan, so that's going to give you something smooth. But it's more intuitive and actually quite useful for this, for the purpose of this talk, to talk in terms, to think in terms of the dual graph. So let me redo the picture here. So it's useful to think in terms of the dual graph, because the dual graph of this has a physical meaning, as again we all know. So if we take the dual graph of this, has more sort of, contains a lot of physical information. So if we take the dual graph by this, meaning that, well, I should take Barry centers, but I'm very bad at drawing, so I'm going to take whatever I can. So I'm going to get a graph like this, of this form. So the dual graph, so this dual graph, as explained in back in 97, there was a paper of Aroni, Kohl, and Hanani and Kohl, and also another paper by Lung and Wafa. The dual graph is identified with a five-grain web in type 2B string theory. So this is going to be very, very actually important for us. It's a five-grain web in type 2B. And this is useful, for example. I'm going to use this picture a bit later on. Okay, now you take a field theory limit of this. So basically what you have to do, so now this is a more intuitive picture because it tells you each of the segments corresponds to some P1, right? Because what we're having here is a vibration by AN singularities. If I resolve it, this is the case A3, no, A2. So I get P1 fibers, and here, P1 fibers, 1 and 2. No, the other way, 1 and 2, doesn't matter. There's going to be a P1 base here. So you can easily visualize the compact curves. It's fairly intuitive. So what you need is to take the volumes of these guys to zero and the volume of this guy to infinity in such a way that you keep the masses of the vertical brains fixed. So there is some field theory limit involved. So as I said, the first time this was discussed was actually a kind of a mirror picture, I believe, by Shamit and Kumrun. But in the meantime, it was reformulated in terms of the A model. So you get some field theory limit. So the important point for us is that, well, so in this field theory limit string theory dynamics, the limit of string theory dynamics is basically gives you the low energy Seiberg-Witten solution for SUN. And the Keller parameters on these fibers, which are kept finite in this limit, they are identified with Coulomb parameters. So the fiber Keller moduli, they identify with Coulomb branch parameters. Okay, so that's, as I said, I'm not going to get into details, but because many of you know this much better than I do. But the important thing is that I want to use this picture. So this is what's done in this paper with Jan Mascot, Wei and Chuang, Jan Mascot, Greg, and Jan. This paper was to try to understand how we can get the BPS spectrum, the gauge theory BPS spectrum. BPS spectrum is a limit of string theory, of the string theory BPS spectrum. And this turns out to be a fairly delicate question because it looks simple, but it's not. It's not quite, I mean, it involves many, many subtleties, precisely, especially in this higher rank theory. So the upshot of this is that you can derive, so what you can do is you can derive a, you can derive, so I should say, I should give some names. So this was, of course, studied by a lot in recent years by work of Gayato, Mori, and Naisky, and then the work of Chakotay and Vafa and collaborators. So there is a lot of work on this aspect. So and their collaborators. So so there is a lot of this. So what we can do is derive. I should just maybe make the statement first. We can derive the so-called BPS quivers. I shouldn't actually forget because this was actually there is. Very early work by Fiol done in I think in 2000 or 1999. He was really way ahead of everybody else. You can derive BPS quivers from exceptional collections of let's say fractional brains on X. So in other words, what's happening is that you can identify the BPS states occur, of course, as limits in this filter limits of D4, D2, D0 bound states. So and then, for example, for the SU3, you get just to remind you what they are. So I'm saying these are you somehow what I'm saying is you rederive these results from string theory. So so what's happening? So for SUN, what you get is the Kronecker quiver. For SU3, you get something that looks like this. I think plus some cubic superpotential, which I'm not going to write down. And these are the nodes. All the nodes correspond to. This important thing, I'm not going to give you the details, which whatever, but I'm going to, these are compact D4, D2, D0 bound states or BPS configurations. And they're actually very special ones. They are rigid. They have no moduli. There's only one object and one state, one quantum state, one object and one quantum state there. So all of them are like this. And they are compact objects supported on compact holomorphic surfaces inside this geometry. There is in this particular case, there is two of them. the compact holomorphic surfaces are in this picture identified with the squares, or rectangles, whatever they are. So so they are both of them P1 bundles over P1. So you get this kind of picture. Okay, so now that's a kind of quick review of geometric engineering. So now the game I want to play is how can I add defects to this picture? That's exactly the question I was trying to I want to get to. So how can we add defects? Well, there is two types of defects. We know, as I said before, we have surface defects from the work of Gukov, Witten, and then for the GMN and so on. And then we have line defects. Yeah, there is, okay. I'm going to repeat the question. Are you a physicist or mathematician? I mean, are you a physicist or mathematician? I mean, you're a physicist. then the question is harder to answer. These are just four special, just four. Up to shifts in the derived category, they are just four. They are four spherical shifts. I don't know. I mean, you have to specify. These are all rank one. I should say they are rank one D4 brains with some lower flux with some plus with some fluxes from some U1 fluxes. U1 flux. This is how we describe them. You have two surfaces.
Well, yeah, four.
because of the flux. I have two surfaces, but they actually differ by units of flux. I mean, the line bundle on the divisor. You have to specify a divisor and the line bundle on it. And why I have exactly four and not two or six or eight, that comes from the construction of an exceptional collection. I don't want to get into that. That's a technical result that says that the derived category of this is generated by a bunch of line bundles. And
I mean, the basis of charges, are there electric and magnetic charges of these PPA states that are generated by these four brains?
Yes, they are.
The rank of this lattice is four.
Yes, they are generated. Yeah, because you have, you can, yeah, the charges are, yeah, they are, yes, they are generated, yes.
You have two for SU2 and you have four for SU3.
Yeah, I have four for SU3, yes, that's right.
F2N.
Actually, to be precise, this year, I forget which, but this guy is a D4 brain, this is an anti-D4 brain, so it's a shift by one in the derived category. So their sum actually has no net D4 brain charge. So that's why you get the two brain charges. That's how the derived category works. I mean, I can write the sheaves for you, but I really don't have them in my notes.
Is the derived category on the threefold?
On the threefold, yeah. Yeah, on the threefold, the statement is it admits an exceptional collection of line bundles, and from there you can derive an exceptional collection of fractional brains. So I'm just trying to skip over the technical part because it's... All right, so the question I was trying to get at is how we can generate defects. Now, in our paper earlier this year, we kind of discussed this case, line defects. These are kind of not that hard to get. These are just D4 brains wrapping some big, large, non-compact divisors on some large and non-compact divisors. Now, these ones, I'm not going to get into details, but what happens here, you're going to end up getting framing data for the quiver. So you get the next one node and an angle going in, for example, at various nodes. So you get this kind of frame quiver representations. So that's not, I'm not going to get into that in the detail because the interesting, I think, what I wanted to discuss today is this case. How I can get surface defects in this picture. And I should say this problem was actually discussed in the literature. So there is this work by Demofte, Bukov and Holland, where they propose that there is the surface defects are obtained by wrapping a D4 brain on what's known as a toric Lagrangian, or actually should be special Lagrangian cycle, in X. So these are some special Lagrangian cycles. They were constructed by Aganagic and Vapa in 2000 or something. So you can have some special Lagrangian cycles here, which topologically look like S1 cross R2. And you can wrap the four brains, and you get a defect like, you know, these are non-compact. Again, they are non-compact. So what you get is some kind of defect object in the four-dimensional effective theory. So you can get them like this. And I agree, this is a class of surface defects. There is one problem with this, which is they don't seem to couple naturally to a magnetic state. So by this I mean, how do I get, remember by GMN, we know that there should be a 2D, 4D BPS spectrum. And in particular, I should be able to construct bound states, sort of magnetic states with arbitrary magnetic charges bound to these defects. So we want some kind of magnetic BPS states bound to the defect. And that, it's not very natural in this picture. There is two reasons it's not natural. One is geometric, or better said, even topological, not just geometric. Because remember, where is my picture? Here. The magnetic BPS states are actually the 2D zero configurations wrapping a compact holomorphic surface. Now, naively, what to expect to somehow you want, what you might expect from this picture is to describe the magnetic BPS states coupled to the defect by some kind of configurations with boundary on the Lagrangian cycle. Except that doesn't quite work because the Lagrangian cycle is non-compact, so it can't be a boundary of something, of anything by itself. And it's also not for the physical reasons. It doesn't work because default brains don't end on other default brains. That's not an allowed open brain configuration in string theory. So at that point, we just realized that in fact what's going on here is that the D6 brain wrapping a quasiotropic brain works a lot better. So the proposal is basically to say that, well, another class of surface defect is gotten by is gotten by wrapping the six brains on a quasiotropic five cycle in X. And as I said before, you can construct them very, very explicitly. It's technical, but you can construct them. So what you can construct, remember X, as in that picture, is 5 orders over P1. The 5 order is the resolution, the Crepont resolution, the K-trivial resolution of a two-dimensional quotient singularity, each fiber. So it's a vibration in this AD resolutions, in AN resolutions. And so the brain you can get, an M inside here, which maps to a point in P1. So it's basically M looks like, I'm sorry, it doesn't map to a point, it maps to a circle. Apologies. To a circle in P1, so it looks like S1 times this resolution of C2 mod Zn. That's what the brain looks like. I mean, the support cycle, I should say. The support cycle looks like this. And then there is, it's a fairly complicated story to write the V1 connection. And in fact, you can only do it in patches in order to make it explicit, and then you start gluing, so there is some patches centered along each section, and then you start gluing the patches, and after a while, you can construct the global brain structure, but it's fairly involved, and I don't think I want to get there. I should say probably because it's interesting, what's happening is that the construction seems to be somehow in nature. It seems to be well adapted to this GLSM language that was discussed in the morning by Larian. So in other words, I think it should be possible, although we haven't quite gotten there yet, to actually construct these things as boundary conditions for GLSMs. Because, okay, so without getting into detail, I should say that the strategy of construction is to construct, so basically I can give you the local model. So you can take for the local model, if I take this local model, just the rank 2 bundle over T1, right? So if you want to write this as the Higgs branch of a GLSM, the GLSM in question is going to look like this. For example, the U1 gauge field, it's abelian. So it has charges U1 and minus A minus B. All right, so the Higgs branch is the symplectic quotient. The moment map have a moment map equals to a phi Lyapunov term, which I'm assuming is a positive real number. And then you take this and you mod out by gauge transformations, and you get exactly this toric geometry. So the way the brains are constructed in this particular local model is to write the brain structure upstairs first. So we first construct the brain structure in this particular, in this manifold, which is 7-dimensional, before you take the quotient by U1. So you can construct the brain structure in here. You can write very explicit formulas. And then you check that they are U1 invariant, and you just descend. So it's fairly involved. So you can construct some kind of brain structure here. Or I should say, well, what you construct here, it's a six cycle plus a U1 connection in this picture. And then you just check that it's U1 equivariant, and you check that by descent you get a quasiotropic brain structure on X. And so this is for the local model. And then for the global model, you really have to do this in patches near each section and check that they glue. And so it's a long story. And in fact, Natalia was the one who figured out how to glue these things properly and get global objects. But they exist. I mean, that's the message. They exist, and they seem to serve very well this purpose, because now if I have an object like this, it's very natural to allow this object serves as a boundary condition for defaulted to the zero bound state. Because what's happening in this picture is that, so this is the rough picture. Now, this object is something that comes like this. See, these are complex lines, so I can't quite distinguish. I mean, if you really want to think in terms of real geometry, then it's going to be, this is a P1 and there's a circle. So now it's natural to have, if you look at the intersection between this M and inner, for example, some surface, this is a divisor, right? It's some kind of Hitzebrück surface of some degree that I won't bother to get right. So this is a Hitzebrück surface. It's a P1 bundle over P1. Now they intersect very nicely transversely along a P1 bundle over a circle. So M has transverse intersection with this Hitzebrück surface, and a transverse intersection. So in string theory, what I want to do is place the D6-brain here. And of course, then it makes sense to look at the four brains ending on this D6-brain. It's just a natural brain junction. So we can look at the 4D2 D0 configurations on this Hitzebrück surface with boundary on M. So our proposal is basically that these kind of objects are in fact string theory. In this limit they should flow in this limit to 2D, 4D BPS states. So in the field theory limit, you're supposed to get 2D, 4D BPS states. So it's a natural way to get them. But okay, so that's okay. So it's something consistent, and it looks like both geometrically and string theoretically consistent. But the problem is that ideally what one would like to do with this is to construct a category of such states. So I mean, one of my goals, I don't know, one of our goals was to try to understand how we can construct a nice category, triangulated category, capturing the algebraic structure of such states. And unfortunately, this picture doesn't solve that problem, because it's very hard. I mean, in physics, it makes sense. What I wrote here makes sense. But first of all, I have to be honest and say I don't really know what the boundary conditions are. I mean, if you take gauge fields on this D4 brain and what, I don't really know how to write the correct boundary conditions. That's one. And second of all, even if I knew how to write those correct boundary conditions, that would give me some kind of maybe elliptic differential equations. But the problem is, how do I make a category of such objects? Because these objects are no longer coherent sheaves on X. They have some real analytic structure along this boundary. So it's going to be very hard to construct a derived or triangulated category of objects like this. At least I have no idea how to do it. So at this point, it's now at this point, you know, what can you do? Well, you can try to solve this extremely difficult problem, or you can apply mirror symmetry. Yeah?
Can you explain what are the charges of these things?
I don't think I can answer that question. To be honest, I don't remember the charge lattice of the 4D BPS state, so I can't tell you. It's supposed to be a torsor over the charge lattice of the bulk, right?
Right, but
I think this somehow, in some implicit way, I'm going to explain this. I'm going to answer this question in the mirror picture. The charges with respect, maybe I should
and
ask.
This, and this cat, but I'm actually asking because of the category. So your category is going to depend on N.
It's a good question. I don't know to what extent it depends on M. The problem is I don't have the category, so I don't know. In the mirror picture, some of these questions are probably easier to ask.
Physics-wise, you want to have your surface defect.
Yeah.
And then you want to study objects which are bound to this and
So
to this defect, and you think this is a category because
It's a natural proposal. The best way, I mean, what can you do? I mean, it's a natural way to get it in string theory, yes. You get states that are magnetically charged with respect to the bulk gauge fields, and they can have arbitrary magnetic charges, and they're, because I can take any rank D4 brain here, so it's any rank, whatever I want to do it.
But
and
it's not, you can't necessarily bind them. You can't bind them together, right?
Bind to what?
Two of these states. I mean, the category structure is there to bind the.
Well, the point is, you're asking, I don't know what the exact triangles are. So in order to answer that question, basically, I need to know what the exact triangles are and what.
Physically, I'm asking whether you actually expect a category or not. But it's sort of,
if you expect, good question. It's even that's not clear.
For these states, I'm not, to me, it's not clear why there should be a category.
Well, okay, so perhaps you.
From the theory, there's a difference in psych, but the outcomes are. Is merged together with them.
Yeah, I agree, it's not totally clear. My goal was to find a category, I didn't find it this way, but the mirror picture makes it very much nicer. So we'll find a category there.
So you have a category.
Huh?
You have a category.
Yeah, but not in this language, in the mirror language. Yes, there is a category, otherwise, yes. I mean, there is a category. It's a bit hard to study, because this is a category. This is kind of a last minute development. So I know that we know the category. But doing computations in that category seems to be a bit of a challenge at the moment. Let me see how much time I have, and I just need to explain the mirror. There is. All right. So what you're gonna do is try to mirror this, and we know this. I mean, to mirror the Kolobial X by Holly Vafa, we know the local mirror of X. So this is gonna be some. It comes out to be. Some hypersurface in C2 cross C-star cross C-star. And if I choose coordinates x, y, u, v, here this hypersurface is going to be written like x, y equals u plus 1 over u plus some polynomial of degree n in v. Okay, so now I'm just going to write in this parametrization. So in particular, the whole thing has a nice, has many projections, right? You can project down to this part, and then it's a conic bundle. The fibers are conics, as you can see. You can also project it down, and this is the projection I want to use. You can project it down to a single C-star, so say the one with coordinate u, for example. You can project it down there. And then it looks like just a vibration. So it looks like a vibration, so let me put it right here. So the fibers are going to be deformations, not resolutions, but deformations of an minus 1 singularities. Sorry, an singularities. Smoothings, generically smoothings. Okay, not resolutions. So here, what I'm insisting on is that the fiber here is going to be a complex surface, the generic fiber. So so let me call this map pi. So for a generic point, P, pi inverse of P, it's a smoothing of an singularity. So in particular, the geometry is like this. So there is a chain of S2s, as you might expect, x21, x22, and so on. But these in this complex structure, these guys are not holomorphic. It's not a blow-up. These are actually Lagrangian spheres. In this particular complex structure that I'm looking at. So these are actually Lagrangian spheres in this picture. So that's the picture. And then the important thing to notice is that the map has exactly, for generic coefficients in here, the map has exactly 2 times n minus 1 critical points. So I have 2 times n minus 1 critical points of pi. And actually, for generic coefficients, there is only one critical point for a critical value. So the picture is that if I draw the base like this, this is C star u, then I get some critical points like this. So for each critical fiber, it has an A1 singularity. Precisely one of the spheres shrinks, contracts to zero, it has an A1 singularity. And there is only one such singularity per each critical fiber. So there is an isolated A1 singularity. So you have one critical point per critical value. So it's a nice vibration. It's what's known in symplectic geometry as a symplectic Lefschetz pencil. So this is a symplectic Lefschetz pencil. So now, the key point is, how is this going to help me? Well, what I need to do is to try to understand what is the mirror of this quasi-entropic brain. I need to understand how to move the whole construction in this setup. And this, well, to be honest, I don't know exactly. This was a guess, and there is a way of sort of substantiating this guess using some string duality tricks. So there is some tricks that are, I think I learned, at least I learned them from this older paper of Aroni, Hanani, and Koh on fibrin webs, in which you can map the geometry to a fibrin web, right? You can map this structure to a fibrin web and then lift to M theory in a different way, and then you get the local mirrors. So you can from X with M and all this data, you should go to a fibrin web. And then we lift to M theory, so in some way, take an M lift, and you're supposed to get the local mirror geometry. So what's happening here in this stage, if you do it, well, there is some tricks. As you know, everybody in this business knows the tricks. What you end up doing is you learn that this is the fibrin web. Now this defect you added on seems to be just an NS brain just stretching, passing through the web like this. So this is an extra NS prime fibrin. So this is kind of different from the picture that people usually advocate, where you have some the three brain ending here. This seems to be a different thing. And then you just lift it to M theory. So what you learn is that the mirror of M of this brain here is going to has to be a holomorphic brain supported on a fiber. I'm going to call it S pi inverse of P. Of this map. And on top of that, it should specify a gauge field, which, to be honest, I don't know how to do. But fortunately, I don't really need it for my purposes. But there's going to be some line bundle with gauge field here that I don't know how to construct. That seems to be a bit quite messy. But the important thing is some holomorphic brain supported on a complex surface, which is a fiber of this map. And of course, if everything is generic, this fiber is going to be a regular fiber. It's away from the critical points. So P is not critical. So then you're going to say, how is this going to help you understanding the category? And fortunately, it goes a long way towards constructing the category. It actually determines the category, as I'm going to explain. So I have 10 minutes left, but I'll probably finish faster. So what's happening, first of all, physically what's happening in the new picture, so the surface defect now, the surface defect, it's a defi brain wrapping S, or supported on S. That's my surface defect. What are these 2 dBps states, the 4 dBps states? Ah, this is nice. They are Lagrangian cycles, or Lagrangian A brains, I should say, in Y with boundary on S. So I mirrored this D4, D6 junction, I didn't know what to do with this kind of gadget. So you get the picture, have some holomorphic surface, it's smooth because we're away from the critical value, so then you have Lagrangians with and there. So these are Lagrangians. And the nice thing about this is an intuitive picture, but now the interesting thing is that after, I puzzled over this for a while, I happened to stumble upon Seidel's book on Picard left-shift vibrations. And it turns out this is precisely the kind of category Seidel constructed in his book. So that's where we got lucky, because we can look at it. We can look at the Fukaya Seidel category for this pair YS. Because Y over C star is a left shift pencil, and this is exactly the kind of construction that Seidel did in his book. Precisely, it's tailor made for this situation. So you get a category which is rigorously defined. So you get some kind of Fukaya Seidel category of Y with respect to S. which has a rigorous definition. I don't think perhaps I'm not going to get into that. It involves taking some covers and so on. So in a nutshell, what you do is you take a double cover of the base. You take a double cover of this C star. You want to take some sigma, which is a double cover of this, branch at P, okay, and your base change y here, so you get some y prime or some z by taking the fiber product. And here, and then here, this happens, this comes by construction because this is a double cover, it comes with some involution I. So this category is really what it is the Fukaya category of z, the invariant Fukaya, so z2 invariant, so I invariant. So invariant Fukaya category. Fukaya category of z. So now I don't have a relative condition, right? I'm hiding the relative condition in this double cover data. So this sigma is branched out at P. So this cover here, it's 2 to 1, and it's branched precisely along S. So somehow I'm hiding the relative condition here. So here, the intuitively what happens is you have a Lagrangian like this. If you pull it back to the double cover, you're going to get its mirror image, so you complete it. So what you get is a Lagrangian on Z with involution. So that's how you get rid of this boundary condition. So you get Lagrangians on Z with involution. So there is a rigorous construction for this category. So this is all inside Seidel's book. Now the bad news, and that's I'm going to end here because that's basically all I know about the subject, is that it's hard to do computations. It's not easy to do computations. A lot of it is known. A lot is known about these categories. For the case when the base of this vibration is a disk, but it seems that just replacing a disk by an annulus actually makes it quite a big difference. So I'm just going to maybe close with a list of problems I don't know how to solve. Basically, at the moment we don't know how to solve, which is we have to compute some BPS degeneracies from this category, and try to match results of David and Gayoto Mogenitsky and try to match with GMN and the predictions we can work out. Another example is, can we derive the world crossing formula from this from this category from the Kontsevich-Sobelman formalism for the category. And finally, a very interesting question that Jan and I have been discussing was just for 2 days, essentially, is can we say anything about the cohomological Hall algebra of 2D, 4D BPS states? So these are open questions. Some of them might actually be tractable, but it is just that's where we are right now. So okay, thank you for.
In this category, are there multiple choices that go from, say, the different bundles of the different choices of bundle?
It's a good question. I don't know. See, this the construction of this category doesn't actually make use of the line bundle on the surface. So I don't know. It might be that I'm just oversimplifying things, and I should be making use of it. But certainly not nothing of that is known in mathematics. That the construction of the category doesn't make use of it.
So which surface defect is in the HDL?
But I don't know. It's just a surface defect with a single massive vacuum, as far as I can tell. It has a single massive vacuum, and it has.
Even two?
No, one. Because. I mean, look, what happens is that there is one Kyler superfield on the defect. So you have the structure with the vibration. So there is a Kyler superfield corresponding to translations like this. And you get some potential that looks, you have disks like this and disks like this. So you get the potential like 5 plus 1 over 5 plus, I don't know, high order terms. And you're saying I have two vacuum? Oh, okay. Sorry. I got my number back up. Okay. Sorry, I hope this is not online. My students would have a lot of fun with this. Yeah, so anyway, so this is the story here. You get the potential like this, and some high order corrections. So that's the kind of defect you get. So, but somehow, I don't know, at least now we haven't made use of the gauge field, and I don't even know how to compute it. I don't know how to mirror it. That seems to be a difficult issue. I mean, it's complicated.
These BPA states, I mean, is Lagrange calibrated?
Oh, yeah. You have to calibrate them, yeah. You have to calibrate them. So in the category, that means specifying the region stability condition, yeah.
That's also given by the holomorphic scalability.
It's the holomorphic.
See any trace of this?
No, it's going to be. At that point, you might get. Let me see, I might be saying something stupid here, but you might get. There might be a contribution to the central charge from the gauge field on this set. I don't know. The holomorphic reform is going to be there, but I don't know if it's the only thing.
I mean, you must see some of the Poisson topic. The fact that
the only
topic ran on the other side must enter.
Well, this category structure doesn't seem to enter, you know, because that only uses the surface with no gauge field. So maybe it enters the stability condition.
The D5.
Yeah, the gauge field on the D5, maybe it enters on the stability condition on the central charge for.
But then it's like, if you don't understand, it's going to be hard to calculate the degeneracy.
You know how these things are done. I'm going to just match, at the end I can take an abstract regional stability condition and I'm going to match parameters to, anyway. Well, we are far from there because right now we just don't quite understand the structure of the category. So we don't know if it has finitely many generators and if it has an exceptional collection and things like this. So it's. We are kind of far behind that.
Thank you, Manuel, again.